we can rest in the fact that God is sovereign over all things. We accept responsibility, we make wise decisions, and at the same time, though, we can learn to rest in God's sovereignty. And He's in control of all things.
Proclaiming God's love and truth for you and your family. Wonder Lake Bible Church.
Today is our last message in this series that we have been doing from the book of Proverbs. We've called that Proverbs, Wisdom for a Successful Life. Wisdom is at the heart of the book of Proverbs. And we said, what is wisdom? We said, remember, it is the ability to discern or to judge that which is true, that which is right, that which is good or lasting. And we asked again, what is the beginning? If we're going to be wise men and women, it all starts with something. Proverbs says, what is the beginning of wisdom? The starting point is what? Fear of the Lord. Fear of the Lord, that profound awe and respect for the nature and the power of God, that sobering acknowledgement that God's holiness, His judgment, His discipline are a consuming fire. We've seen that wisdom fears the Lord and pursues righteousness. Folly does not fear the Lord, pursues what it wants, what it thinks. Proverbs covers many different subject matters. We've looked at sexual integrity, speech, diligence, wealth, and prosperity. And this week, a very easy topic for us all to understand, I'm sure, divine sovereignty and human responsibility. Anyone here ever wrestled with that one a little bit? Divine sovereignty and human responsibility. How God is in charge of all things, and yet human beings are called to make choices and are held responsible and accountable for those things. So we're going to take a look today at what Proverbs has to say about that topic. We're asking this question, who's in charge around here? Who's in charge around here? Years ago, I remember walking into a small business. I don't remember what the business was exactly. I walked in there and approached a counter. And behind the counter, there stood a woman who looked like a competent and efficient hard worker. And on the wall behind her, there was a sign that said, do you want to talk to the man in charge or the woman who knows what's going on? You know, we might ask ourselves then, you know, well, who was in charge around there? The man in charge or the woman who knew what was going on? And sometimes we might ask that question of ourselves. Who's in charge of your life? Who's in charge of my life? Is God in control of all things, or are you responsible for your life? Does God control all things, or does it depend upon your choices? Does God determine everything, or has He given you and me what is loosely called free will to decide things? Or does He maybe determine some things and leave other things up to you? Or is it the case, though, that somehow, in a way that we don't understand, that God is absolutely in control of all things, and you and I are free and responsible for our choices? And maybe you might matter, well, for that matter, well, what difference does this make? Does it make a difference? Because I don't know that I can ever really understand this. So what difference does it make to ask these questions? Well, I want you to know that we're not going to answer all those questions completely here today. But I do want to impart a key thought, and that is this, that as we accept responsibility for our lives and make wise decisions, we can rest in the fact that God is sovereign over all things. We accept responsibility, we make wise decisions, and at the same time, though, we can learn to rest in God's sovereignty, that He's in control of all things. Scripture verse I want to look at to start us off here, to kind of set the table, if you will, for us, is Proverbs 16, verse 9. Proverbs 16, verse 9, found in your Pew Bible, page 640. Now, I know that this is not an easy verse to understand, and it's a short verse, but it packs quite a punch. Let's take a look at it. Proverbs 16, 9 says, in his heart, a man plans his course, but the Lord determines his steps. In his heart, a man plans his course, but the Lord determines his steps. So short verse packs quite a theological punch when you think about it and reflect upon it. Remember years ago those old commercials for Hawaiian? How about a nice Hawaiian punch? Remember those? Well, this morning, how about a nice theological punch? Here it is for you. Put this one in your theological pipe and smoke it. In his heart, a man plans his course, but the Lord determines his steps. What does this mean? Well, we'll have more to say about it later, but for now, I think what this verse is telling us is that while you and I make plans and decisions, God is nevertheless sovereign over it all. Whatever we plan, whatever we decide, somehow God is ultimately in control and sovereign over it all. We choose, but God is in control. Divine sovereignty, God's control of all things. Human responsibility, we make choices, we're held accountable by God for those choices. God in control of all things, and yet human beings make choices and are responsible for those choices. How do we reconcile these ideas? Well, today I want to look at three essential truths on the topic of divine sovereignty and human responsibility that are found in the book of Proverbs. Now, this is not the be-all, end-all, last word on the subject. We're looking at it in this series from Proverbs on what Proverbs says about it, and then we'll jump off a little bit to speculate a little bit about how to understand these things, and then I hope bring it back to ask that question, well, so what? What difference does this make? What difference does this make to me in my life right now? What does Proverbs tell us about divine sovereignty and human responsibility? Well, the first thing it tells us is this, is that God knows all things. God is aware of, God knows everything. Everything that can be known, God knows it. Look at a few verses that show us that from Proverbs. Proverbs 15, whoop, I got ahead of myself there. Proverbs 15:3 says, "The eyes of the Lord are everywhere. The eyes of the Lord are everywhere, keeping watch on the wicked and the good." It says the eyes of the Lord are everywhere. That means what? That he sees it all. He knows it all. He's keeping watch on the wicked and the good. The Lord knows everyone completely, and he knows everything about everyone, good and evil. God sees it all. He knows it all, good and evil. Proverbs 15:11 says this then, "Death and destruction lie open before the Lord." Some of you, maybe your translation says Sheol and Abaddon. Those are the literal words there. It's a reference, death and destruction. It's a reference to the afterlife, the afterworld, the underworld. It says, "Death and destruction lie open before the Lord. How much more the hearts of men?" In other words, the Lord knows what is in the heart and the mind of every single person. Death and destruction, Sheol and Abaddon, they represent the remote underworld, the abode of the dead. Now, if God sees that and knows everything there that's hidden from us, how much more so then does he know what we see and what is not hidden to us? If he sees the hidden, how much more so then does he see what is not hidden to us? Death and destruction lie open before the Lord. How much more the hearts of men? God knows about all things and everyone. How much more does he know you and me? Finally, then, Proverbs 16:2. This can be a little scary sometimes. Actually, a lot of this can be a little scary. But Proverbs 16:2 says, "All a man's ways seem innocent to him. All a man's ways seem innocent to him, but motives are weighed by the Lord." All a man's ways seem innocent to him, but motives are weighed by the Lord. As the Lord knows even our motives. He doesn't just see what we do. He sees everything that is in our hearts, even including our motives, and even including the things that we don't see about ourselves. He sees through that to see the truth of it. All a man's ways seem innocent to him. Oh, as we think we're going through, we think we're doing the right way, the right thing, the good thing, for the right reasons. But God sees the heart. He sees the motive. He knows the truth. Anybody here think that you are capable of deceiving yourself? Well, God sees that deception in us, and He's not fooled. The Lord even knows our motives. We may think our motives are pure, but self-deception, rationalization can make our estimate of ourselves unreliable. But God sees through it all and evaluates them for what they truly are. So that's the first thing that Proverbs teaches us about sovereignty and responsibilities. First of all, God knows all things. Second thing that it teaches us is that God is sovereign over all things. To be sovereign means what? To rule over, to be in charge of, to have control of. And then you get into questions about, well, does that control over something mean causing or determining? Get into all kinds of philosophical arguments about that. But whatever you may understand about sovereignty, it is clear. Scripture asserts that God is sovereign over all things. He is in charge or in control in some degree or another, over everything. Quite a few verses there. Proverbs 16:1 says, "To man belong the plans of the heart, but from the Lord comes the reply of the tongue." Now, this is a difficult verse to decipher, but there's no doubt that it is a reference to God's sovereignty or control over all things. But in what sense? I think that this verse is saying that even as you and I, as we reflect on a matter and we make certain plans and determinations, it is actually God who brings those things to pass, including even how we speak about it or how we then respond to someone in conversation, that even the very words that come out of our mouths fall under the sovereign control of God. To man belong the plans of the heart, but from the Lord comes the reply of the tongue. God is even sovereign over our very words. Proverbs 16:4 says, "The Lord works out everything for His own ends, even the wicked for a day of disaster." The Lord works out everything for His own ends, even the wicked for a day of disaster. In other words, God works in and through all things for His purpose. Can you think of a New Testament verse that has something to say about this, about God working in all things? That's right. Romans 8:28 says what? That God works in all things for the good of those who love Him. That God is sovereign over all those things, that even bad things, God works in and through it for His good purposes. The Lord works out everything for His own ends, even the wicked for a day of disaster, that even the things that wicked things people do, even those things, God works in it for His own purpose. God is not responsible for the wicked, evil choices people make. But He works in it. He uses that, even those things, for His own ends and purposes. In other words, you know what? He's infinitely smarter than you and me. And He uses even the wicked for His purposes. Can you think of a great example of that in the book of Genesis? Joseph, remember? With what his brothers did to him, but then what God did through the life of Joseph. And then Joseph, talking to his brothers, says what? "You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good." Of course, the greatest example, the reason that we're here today, of things that men meant for evil, but God meant for good, is what? The crucifixion, right? Those people who crucified him meant it for evil. They meant to, they were going to silence this opponent. Put this supposed blasphemer, this mere man who makes himself out to be God, going to put him to death, silence him. And of course, it was ultimately every one of us, our sins, that put him on the cross, wasn't it? Well, they meant it for evil. But God meant it for good. It was through that most evil, horrible crime that was ever committed, murdering God, the Son of God, that the most glorious and greatest gift was ever given, salvation and eternal life. So the Lord works out everything for his own ends, even the wicked for a day of disaster. Whatever's happening in your life or mine, if our trust is in a God, he is working everything out for his own ends. And sometimes we don't see that end right away. In fact, most of the time we don't see it right away, do we? But in time we do, and I would suggest in eternity we definitely will. Proverbs 16:9, our key verse for the day, says, "In his heart a man plans his course, but the Lord determines his steps." In his heart a man plans his course, but the Lord determines his steps. In other words, the Lord sovereignly determines the outworkings of our plans. We plan, we decide, we choose, but in the end it's God who sovereignly works in it for his purposes. We choose, we decide, we make plans, but it's God who determines what happens. We plan, God determines what happens. I have to tell you, I was made painfully aware of this verse in college. I'll have a little more to say about this later, a different aspect of it. But as is the nature of Bible college, you sit around the dorm room, you know, in the lounge area there, and having theological arguments and debates until 2 or 3 in the morning when you have a Greek exam at 8 o'clock the next morning, but the debate's too good, you know, to give it up. Well, the issue was, I was on my soapbox, which I know some of you find that hard to believe, but I was on my soapbox pontificating about how everyone else, how this one gentleman in particular, was wrong about his understanding of the concept of the will of God. You know, that I had read a very influential book on that had kind of opened up my perspective on it, and I saw, I think properly so, that the will of God is not this, you know, arrow, this bullseye target that we're supposed to be shooting for. We've talked about that before. But I had taken that idea to such an extreme that I had this concept in my mind of just this radical human freedom. You know, that essentially that, yes, God is sovereign over our salvation, but after that it's pretty much whatever you want. Whatever you want. God doesn't necessarily call you to be a pastor or to do this or whatever. You choose, you decide. And then this one gentleman, missionary kid, says, "What about Proverbs 16:9? What about it? Look it up." In his heart, a man plans his course, okay, but the Lord determines his steps. Ah, he got me. God is sovereign. We choose, we make plans, we decide, but it's God who determines what happens. Proverbs 16:33. God's only concerned about the big things in life, right? He's only sovereign over the major decisions. Proverbs 16:33. The lot is cast into the lap, but its every decision is from the Lord. You know what the lot was? That was the way sometimes that they would make decisions. They weren't sure what to do. They would throw the lot, which is be like the equivalent for us today would be like throwing a pair of dice or maybe flipping a coin would be an example for us. This essentially is saying that, you know what, you throw a pair of dice or you flip a coin, even that God determines. God, if you flip a coin, God determines whether it's going to be heads or tails. In some sense of determination, it's not a quote-unquote random chance. In some sense of determination, God says whether it's going to be heads or tails. Uh-oh. Proverbs 19:21, many are the plans in a man's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. We plan. Many are the plans, but it's the Lord's, but it's God's purpose that works out through it. Proverbs 20:24, a man's steps are directed by the Lord. How then can anyone understand his own way? In other words, you know what? Give up trying to understand this, folks. God is sovereign over our lives, and we can't really understand how that is. Proverbs 21:1, the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. He directs it like a watercourse wherever he pleases. So think, God is channeling and directing your heart however he pleases. Now, wait a minute, this is not right. This is not fair because Scripture says it's all me and my choice, right? Proverbs 21:30-31. There is no wisdom, no insight, no plan that can succeed against the Lord. The horse is made ready for the day of battle, but victory rests with the Lord. Again, human beings, we make decisions. We have insight, wisdom, we plan, but in the end, it's God who sovereignly controls and determines. And finally then, and I'll have a little more to say about this later, Proverbs 25:2, it is the glory of God to conceal a matter. To search out a matter is the glory of kings. It is the glory of God to conceal a matter. To search out a matter is the glory of kings. In other words, you know what? It's a reflection of God's glory, how he hides things and buries them, if you will, in an ocean of mystery. Now, kings and others, we try to understand. We try to seek it out and understand. But it's God's glory, how he hides things so that we never really can fully understand. It's what the whole point of the book of Ecclesiastes is about. By the way, if you're interested in the book of Ecclesiastes, we started studying that the Wednesday night Bible study. Come on out for that at 6:30. It is the glory of God to conceal a matter. To search out a matter is the glory of kings. So what is Proverbs saying? God knows all things. God is sovereign over all things. Okay, so we are all mindless robots then, right? Who do the will of God with no say, no choice whatsoever. Is that a biblical picture? Absolutely not. This is what human beings are responsible for their choices. Now, I put a reference down there. You know what I could have put next to the reference for human beings are responsible for their choices? Well, for Proverbs, I just could have put, see the whole book of Proverbs, right? Or we could expand a little bit further and say, see Genesis through Revelation. Human beings are responsible for their choices, aren't they? And God judges. Now, how can he be sovereign over all things and yet hold us accountable and responsible? How can we choose? Well, let's just look at one verse. There are many we could have looked at. But Proverbs 9, verses 10 through 12 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. For through me your days will be many, and years will be added to your life. If you are wise, your wisdom will reward you. If you are a mocker, you alone will suffer. God is sovereign over all things. Human beings are responsible for their choices, and they truly choose. It's a paradox. What's a paradox? But it's a situation where you have a statement or idea or a concept that seems to bump into the other, and they don't quite mesh. It appears to contradict. Look, either God is sovereignly in control, or you freely choose and are responsible. One or the other, right? No, Scripture says both. God is sovereignly controlling, and yet we choose and are responsible. How do we understand this paradox? I ask you to put your thinking caps on here for a little bit here. And there is going to be an ultimate point to all this, trust me, okay? How are we to understand this paradox of sovereignty and responsibility? And what difference does it make? Well, I want to make two statements that come from a person I respect greatly. Maybe some of you know the Bible scholar, D.A. Carson. Reflecting on this subject, he made two statements about the entirety of scriptural teaching on this subject and demonstrates it quite well from Scripture. First thing he said is this: God is absolutely sovereign. That is, he's sovereign over all things, even including, yes, the casting of the lots or the flipping of the coin. God says heads or tails even to that. He is absolutely sovereign, but his sovereignty never functions in Scripture to reduce human responsibility. So it is, God is sovereign over all things, and yet somehow that doesn't mean that humans aren't responsible for the choices they make, though. That's statement number one. Then statement two. I know. Says, human beings are responsible creatures. That is, they choose, they believe, they disobey, they respond, and there is moral significance in their choices. But human responsibility never functions in Scripture to diminish God's sovereignty or to make God absolutely contingent. Contingent, what does that mean? It means dependent upon. Like God is somehow dependent upon you or me. He's waiting for us to choose or decide before he figures out what he's going to do. No. So on the one hand, God is absolutely sovereign, and that does nothing to diminish responsibility. On the other hand, human beings are absolutely responsible, and that does nothing to diminish his sovereignty. Well, we got to figure this out. How am I going to live with this tension? Well, the truth is there are a lot of tensions in Scripture, aren't there? And we need to learn to live with those things. Attempting to resolve the paradox of this, I would first say there are unbiblical attempts. Unbiblical attempts. In other words, we deny one or the other. We deny God's sovereignty in some way, or we deny responsibility. Now, you might not think that you do this. I might think that I would never do this. But we do. We somehow deny or diminish in some way one or the other in order to try to make it make sense. We deny sovereignty. That is, this we just picture that well, you know, we're really making choices and all that, and that's the only way it'd be fair, right? Is if you and I make choices and we're held accountable for it. And God isn't truly sovereign over those choices. He's not really in control of that. So we deny sovereignty and we get this thing called radical freedom. I would suggest to you that there is no such thing as... actually, there is radical freedom. You know what radical freedom is? Being a slave of Jesus Christ. But this radical freedom, you know, like we can choose whatever we want, do whatever we want. It's a very unbiblical picture, isn't it? Because the scripture says that you and I, that our wills are in bondage to sin, aren't they? And the only time we're truly free is what? When we're set free from sin and death. Well, as a Christian, then I've been set free and I can do anything I want, right? What about Proverbs 16:9? Oh. And a lot of other verses, by the way. No, we are not radically free, and God is not up there just kind of wringing his hands, hoping somehow it all works out. Another unbiblical attempt to resolve this is to deny responsibility. We err on the side of sovereignty. Say, oh, God's in charge of everything. It doesn't matter. We don't need to worry about or do anything. God's in control of it all. You know what? Don't go witness to your neighbor because God is going to save him anyway. It doesn't matter what you and I do because God is in charge of it all. And what God says is going to happen is going to happen. So let's all just go home and watch TV. Right? Fatalism. Doesn't matter what you or I do. Is that a biblical picture, that it doesn't matter what you or I do and that God, because God's sovereign, it doesn't matter? No, God is sovereign, but it does matter what we do because God says he's going to judge us. So those are unbiblical attempts. Now, we're not going to go into great detail here. Well, what about more biblical attempts? Well, they fall into a couple of different camps, specific sovereignty and general sovereignty. Specific sovereignty says that God is in control of all things, absolutely, but human freedom somehow does not place any limitations on his control. And without going into it all here now, we get nuanced understandings and definitions of choice, of freedom, of responsibility. In the end, it basically comes down to this, that God does not force anyone to do what he or she does not want to do. That when people act, they freely act. They want to do what they do. And in so doing, they are free and responsible, and yet they are fulfilling God's sovereign purposes. There's a lot of variations of that, but that's at the heart of it. Then another one says this, general sovereignty says that, well, human freedom does place some limitations on divine sovereignty. It's not saying God isn't sovereign, but he's sovereign in a more general understanding of that. If specific sovereignty redefined or nuanced freedom and responsibility, general sovereignty nuances sovereign and what that means, and says that God does not need to control everything in order to accomplish his purposes. So somehow people are free and they make choices, and God doesn't need to determine or control all of those things to still work out his purposes. Some of you might be scratching your heads right now. You're going to say, what? If you are, I don't blame you. Because you know what I think on all this? I think it's one of these things. Mystery. Sometimes that word gets used, thrown out there casually as an excuse not to think about something. But also mystery can mean we have attempted to understand it. We do attempt, but in the end we have to realize we are finite, limited creatures, and we're talking about Almighty, Sovereign God. Let me ask you, do you think your dog or your cat understands everything in your mind and how you think and why you do what you do? Does your dog, when you leave the house, have any idea what's going on in your life, in your business, your relationships, what's going on there? When you come back, he's just glad to see you, isn't he? And sometimes even your cat is glad to see you. Couldn't begin to have a clue of everything that's in your mind. Couldn't begin to understand. So who are we to think that we're going to perfectly understand the infinite mind of God? We're not going to. You know, this is one of the reasons. Now, don't misunderstand. I'm not saying this is why I know the scriptures are the word of God. Those are other reasons. But one of the reasons why I have confidence, though, in scripture as the word of God is because it presents truths that are impossible for the human mind to grasp. But not in an absurd way, but in a way that is above and beyond us that says to me, this word came from an infinitely great mind. That it says things. It's not afraid to say, how many gods is there? Are there? One. Who what? Eternally exists in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So that's three gods, right? No. One God. It's one of the reasons, again, why I say I think this is the word of God, is that's the doctrine of the Trinity is a reflection of an infinitely superior mind. Would you be a little disappointed if you could understand everything about God and the mind of God? What would that say about you if your dog understood everything about you? Either that's the most amazing dog in the world, or you've got problems, right? We're not going to understand the mind of God. There's a mystery here to this. While I appreciate attempts to resolve it, in the end, we have to accept the fact we're never going to completely understand how it's true that God is absolutely in control of all things, and yet we make choices freely and are responsible for them. You know, I tried to understand it at one point. I want to show you here. Get out your dictionaries for this. See this withered and yellowing piece of paper here? This is all that remains of my efforts to answer every question that can conceivably be thought or asked. I had determined in my 20s that I was going to figure out a system that was going to answer every... I was going to have the answers to everything. Remember the old license plate that said, ask why? That was the genesis of that. So I came up with this thing that I called, ready, ontological contingency theory, that it was like a spoke. In the center was this theory that would have the answer on every conceivable spoke and reflection or concern of life. Here were the spokes: metaphysical, existential, epistemological, axiological, sociological. What are the truths of the metaphysical truth? What is truth? How do we know what truth is? Pluralism and diversity. Why do people come to different opinions? Why are there so many religions in the world? Belief and convictions. What's the difference between a belief and knowing and being a conviction and really being sure about something? Systems. Why do people come up with so many different systems? Existential. Our felt needs. Relationships. Purpose. Meaning. Alienation. Loneliness. Dread. Despair. Angst. Boy, I was a pretty miserable person for a while there. Epistemological, the limits of knowledge. What does it mean to know? How do we know? Probability versus possibility. Voluntarism is it our wills that determines what makes something true or not. Axiological, that is what has value, what is meaningful, what is truly important in life, what is a hierarchy of values and importance. Sociological, conflict, misunderstandings, pointless hostility. Here were the issues that were going to be that I was going to have all the answers for. Pluralism, diversity, epistemology, the problem of evil and suffering, and the doctrine of hell, earthly matters, existential angst. I worked and worked on this one for a long time because I was not going to be like that lightweight Solomon in Ecclesiastes who just gave it all up and said he couldn't figure it out. I was going to figure it out. Well, you know what Ecclesiastes, you know what conclusion Solomon comes to? Fear God and keep his commandments. For this is the end of man. This is his chief duty or purpose. And remember, too, that God is going to bring everything to judgment, whether it's good or evil. Solomon tried to figure it out. He tried to do it all. And in the end, he figured out, you know what? There are some things that just what is crooked cannot be straightened. What is lacking cannot be counted. So you know what you need to do? Fear God, keep his commandments, for this is your chief duty, your end in life. And God's going to bring everything to judgment, whether it's good or evil. So I worked and worked and worked on this, and after I nearly had a nervous breakdown, I came to the brilliant conclusion, you know what? Fear God, keep his commandments. You're not going to figure it all out. I'm not saying that there isn't value in trying to understand things more deeply, but you're not going to put your head in the place of God. So what's the bottom line here in all this? Fear the Lord. This brings us back to the whole point of Proverbs. It's all about what? The beginning of wisdom is what? Fear the Lord. Fear the Lord. Acknowledge him. His worth, his value, his worthiness to be worshipped, obeyed. Fear the Lord. Make wise, God-honoring choices. What? Obey him. Fear the Lord and what? Keep his commandments. Obey him. We obey him by making wise, God-honoring choices. We obey what he says to do. We do what he says to do. We don't do what he says not to do. And when we're not, and when it isn't something that's necessarily right or wrong, what? We seek wisdom and guidance. We ask others. We pray. And we make wise choices that honor his principles. We don't say, well, God's in charge of it all, so it doesn't matter what I do. No. We make wise, we fear the Lord, we make wise, God-honoring choices, and then finally we do this, we rest in God's control. You know what I had to do when I was on this little journey, adventure right here? I had no rest. I had no peace. I was soul-shattered by the world and what goes on in the world and the questions that one can ask. Because I had the world on my shoulders. And you know what? These shoulders were not designed to carry the world. With all due apology to Ayn Rand and Atlas Shrugging, we're not capable of carrying the world on our shoulders, are we? Fear the Lord, make wise, God-honoring choices, rest in God's control. You don't have to understand this issue. What you do is know that God is absolutely in control of your life, and that means in the bad times as well as the good. You know what that means is when you've been praying for someone for a long time. Maybe you're praying for their salvation, or maybe you're praying for a breakthrough in their life and you're just not seeing it. You know what? Don't fret. Rest that God's in control. When things aren't going so well at work, at home, rest that God is in control. But you know, don't let this rest become a hammock, as the old expression goes. You know, go out there. There's an expression I think which is true. Is sometimes it says what that we should pray and act as if it all. Or wait a minute, I'm messing this up. We should act as if it all depends upon us, but pray as if it all depends upon God. Right. Fear the Lord. Make wise, God-honoring choices. Rest in God's control, knowing that you and I are never going to completely understand this. And a final thought then is what the Apostle Paul tells us in Philippians 2, verses 12 and 13, where we see these God's sovereignty and human responsibility coming together here for us. It says, therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. That is, you know what? Get busy. Fear the Lord. Work out yourself. Grow. Do what you need to do to grow in faith. But realize what? Verse 13. For it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. That even in that, that God is sovereignly working in even our very will, that God gives us that and works in and through that. The beginning of wisdom is fear the Lord. Fear the Lord. Honor him. Respect him. Stand in awe of him. And yes, realize that he is a God who judges. Fear God, keep his commandments, for this is the end of man. This is the purpose of us. Let's pray. Lord, there's much that we are incapable of understanding, but yet you've given us much that we can understand. What we can understand is that you are a God who is worthy of our worship, our faith, our obedience. We give our hearts to you now. We give our trust to you now. Help us, Lord, to walk in faith, to make wise, God-honoring choices. And Lord, help us to rest in you, to put our confidence in you, that you truly are in control of all things and that you are working for good in and through it all. We put our trust in you now. In Jesus' name, amen.